listening to Not So Live from Astro G, getting all piratey in the Caribbean. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Your buddy Mike the Ghoul here, looking for some buried treasure. We're going to talk The Bluff, the new Amazon Prime movie that came out a couple weeks ago.
So, I didn't know what I was getting into when I watched this movie, because you just said, hey, go watch The Bluff, it's got pirates in it. I'm like, okay, Carl Urban, pirates, sure, why not? That's all I needed to know. It was not what I was expecting, because what I was expecting was a pirate movie with Carl Urban, where he's the bad guy, and what I got was a John Wick.
Pretty much, right?
It is. It's basically a John Wick.
It's a Jane Wick this time, actually, but it's pretty similar, yeah.
It's a Jane Wick, that's fair.
Jane Wick.
But before we get to that, I want to thank our sponsors for the week, Oscorp. You've all heard the story about how Norman Osborn built his company, Oscorp, from the ground up. With only a small $1 billion loan from his father, Norman went from being a college student to sitting on the Forbes 25 under 25. And his rise didn't stop there. Today, Norman is pushing Oscorp further, breaking the bounds of science and technology, disrupting everything to make the world better. And he'll never send his products back to formula. Oscorp Industries, we're there first. Thank you to Oscorp for sponsoring this episode. So the movie is kind of like, it's not quite a Predator, but it almost has that same energy to it. And honestly, if you cut off the very start little snippet of John Wick, it has the same energy. It's a character who you don't think is going to be someone, then suddenly reveals themselves to be the baddest motherfucker in the room. And that's pretty much what happens. Like, we get an intro in this movie where a pirate captain, or a captain of a naval vessel of some kind, I think privateer might be what they're hinting at, but they never really define it. A captain has his ship taken over by pirates, and it's a much bigger ship, and it's a much bigger crew of pirates. And they come in, and they capture him, and they get a piece of gold off of him with a very specific mark on it. That leads them to suddenly know that the treasure that they're looking for, which we'll build to eventually, is somewhere else. And he has to divulge where that somewhere else is. Then we cut to the island where we assume this treasure is, and we see his wife, who has a kid with some sort of disability. I wasn't sure exactly what it was.
I think probably like they're probably hitting on polio, I think, here, you know, but the time period and everything, and then the legs, I'm thinking, it feels historically that that might be where they were going with it.
And there's a teenager in the house as well, who we initially think is supposed to be her daughter, but we eventually learn is her, like, sister-in-law. But we assume that all three of these people are civilians. There's, like...
Yes, we do.
There's this, like, little detection device that's set up with, like, a rope to the gate that jingles some bottles, and we get the impression that the sister-in-law set it up so that she can know when people are coming in and out of the house. The mother gives a dagger to her kid, but she says it's from the dad for his birthday. That kind of thing. So that when the pirates show up and start to beat the crap out of her to get information out of her, we don't suspect that she's going to be able to handle herself, because for the first little while, she doesn't really. And then, like, this switch flips, and suddenly she just goes all taken on their asses.
Ooh, man. Like, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned protecting her family, and boy, does Priyanka Chopra just kill it here and just absolutely decimate people that are 2 to 3 times her size. Like, they are nothing. She is fun throughout the entire movie.
She knows what she's doing, but it's filmed in such a way that even though she is smaller than everyone else, she acts bigger than all of them. It's an impressive feat of a performance for her, especially because she looks like she did most of the stunts herself. I'm sure there were stunt doubles
Yeah. But for the most part, she actually listened to a news broadcast in my car one day just driving, and the director and her, Priyanka, was on, and they were talking about the movie. I'm like, what is this movie with, like, a pirate girl? Like, I want to check this out. And that's what led me to wanting to watch it and bring it up to you. So, like, I knew that, like, she had done a lot of her own stunts and the effort and stuff that she put into this role. Yeah. So I was excited to see how that would translate to what I would see, and I was very impressed.
Yeah, no, it was great. Yeah, because she gets herself into the role she's in, and it's an interesting transition, because she does go from housewife to suddenly, like, stone-cold killer who you believe could have the name of Bloody Mary. That was the name that the pirates all gave her after they freed her from her servitude under, I think, the British Empire or something else?
Something like that. Yeah, she was, like, a slave. Her kind of initiation when she said she had to become someone else. She killed, I think, the person that was holding her captive, I think, at the time. Yeah. So her whole arc begins at this point.
It's a change in the personality, and you get the vibe that the performance was doing that so that she was fighting against being who she was and trying to be someone different, and then she just has to give in and be who she is. And damn.
Yeah, she is vicious throughout this movie. And like, you know, there was some nice little touches. Like, this movie takes place on like an island for the most part. There wasn't much more else than like a little bit of an island, a little bit of a jungle, a little bit of a beach, and a little bit of like a cave. And like, they did really well, I thought, making it feel bigger than I think it actually was, because this island like is supposed to be, it's a cay in the Caribbean. It's not small, but you know, it should be able to be traversed within a day, I would think. And it did give me the feels of that is something that the island felt like. It felt real, which is also kind of good for a movie like this that's small to make it feel real.
Yeah, I'm not sure if an entire island can count as a bottle episode, but that's more or less what this was. It's like, outside the intro on the ship, everything takes place on this island. I said this to my wife when we were watching it. It's kind of John Wick pulling a Home Alone, because she's already booby-trapped most of this island before they even show up, so that by the time that they get in, they're playing on her turf.
Exactly. Yeah, she is very prepared when they get there for the worst-case scenario. And we find out that, like, this is the absolute worst case scenario of anybody that could show up, because of the history between Carl Urban's character and Bloody Mary's character. I think her name is Ursel, is what they call her most of the movie. And then she really dominated the scenes that she was in and showed this real just affinity for killing. Like, when she opens up the trunk, unlocking it, I'm like, ooh, what's going to be in here? Her gear? And she has this like breastplate that's just like, you know, it was made exactly for her. And I'm like, wow, like, this is a bitch that knows what's going on.
Yeah, it does. There are some tropes in there that I probably could have lived without. Like, I'm fine with her having her old gear in there. Like, that was fine. But it almost felt like they were trying to dress her up to look like the underworld chick. And I'm like, I don't need you all in black leather at this point. Yeah, you're doing just fine in your island gear. Like, just put some leather armor under it, and it works just fine. I understand she has to go stealth, but all black is not the most stealthy thing. It's actually, like, patchy gray is better. But a lot of her gear was cool. I liked her little island cave hideout that she had. I liked how she just knew it, like, the back of her hand. This was a woman who prepared for anything, and even though the movie doesn't show it, you get the vibe that she was going out there daily and just doing her rounds, making sure everything was exactly the way she wanted it, in case she ever had to deal with this kind of thing. And then,
yeah, she was prepared.
She was. Yeah. Her husband was not.
No, and, you know, leave it to the guy to make the decision that, like, you know, puts his crazy-ass wife in a pickle to rescue him. Like, it was definitely an interesting change on that.
Yeah.
I did kind of buy why he did it, though. I was like, what could possibly make this idiot do this if he knew how dangerous that gold was? And I kind of understood when they said it. I'm like, all right, if there's one thing that you're going to bring up, I would believe that. I could believe, actually, in the little bit of time I got with both of you, that despite her being an absolute killer and you being an absolute dunce, you're both probably pretty good parents.
I think what he should have done instead of having the gold on of his person is he should have had a false floor that was nailed down somewhere in the ship that he just tucked the bag into. Because that way, if he was captured, then no one would ever find it. You know, he's the only person that knows where it is.
You mean like the way the money way Ursel put the money in the boat at the end that her kid finds? Like,
why don't you have that in your main boat, you dumb shit? Yeah, no.
Clearly she should have taught him that, man. Jesus.
I know. He, for a guy that's been living with her for easily 10 years now, he didn't learn nearly as much as he was supposed to. She could have shown him the ropes easily enough. It was a bit silly.
He was the weakest link, you know, and it's unfortunate. But
it's motivating for the story. I understand.
It was.
You don't get the story unless he fucks up somehow, at least without rewriting the entire intro of the movie. But this worked because it gave a motivating factor for why she'd even deal with the pirates instead of just outright killing them immediately, like, which she could have done.
The pirate group was actually kind of cool, too. I really dug the quartermaster. I thought he was one of my... I thought he was one of my favorite characters in the movie. Yep, exactly. I'm like, he again brought an energy where I was like, damn, you're good at this.
He's a good actor. Like, he doesn't get enough credit for that. No, he's mostly known for Boba Fett, and Boba Fett was fine. Boba and Jango. But no, he's actually really good in this role, and I really felt for him.
The pirates, they were cool. Like, they had, like, those very Navy SEAL chainmail masks that they wore, so you couldn't really tell who they were. And then you had, like, you know, your kind of pirate trope idiots over here. That one scout guy was an absolute turd, but, I mean, you know, he got what he deserved. and it was fun. It was just over. It was a fun, you know, Buccaneer romp through the Caribbean that wasn't, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean and was violent enough to be a John Wick. Like, it was fun.
Yeah, and that's what it is. That's all it was, is like you get the John Wick character, her, to come out of retirement so she can go kill every motherfucker in the room, and then she does that, and you cheer. And, like, that's all it needed to be. And it had Carl Urban playing the heavy bad guy. I mean, his character didn't get all that much in the way of development. He's pretty tropey, but it doesn't matter because it's Carl Urban playing them, so he just invests in it. Like, Judge Dredd wasn't that deep a character when Carl Urban, like, got the role, but he made the character interesting just through sheer performance.
Right, yeah. And like he is an actor that, you know, there's a short list of maybe like half a dozen that we could go over one day. I'm sure we can, you know, it'd be a fun list to go over. He's on my short list of like a Michael Fassbender. Like, I will watch you in almost anything. And he quickly has become, he's come a long way from being, you know, what was his, Surge from Thor Ragnarok, you know?
Oh, and like some, yeah, barely remember he was there to begin with. Yep.
Yeah, and I think he was a bad guy-esque in one of the Riddicks back in the day. You know, he was
he was one of the Necromongers.
The Necromongers, yes, yes. So he's come, you know, to be quite an action star and a guy that I'll watch in many things. And, like, to take – I don't want to say you take a risk as, like, a professional actor like that, but, like, to just do a movie, like, for Prime, like, you know, fuck it. Like, shout-out to him, too, for being cool enough to do that.
I had to wonder if this movie was originally intended for Prime or not, because it clearly wasn't a big budget movie. It's a episode, but it is also the kind of thing where you're like, this could easily have been released in theaters. Like, it costs 30 mil to make, you put it out, and then if it makes 50, you've already made your money back. Like, I have to wonder if they expected this to go direct to Prime, or if, like, that was just what Amazon decided to do halfway into the production, and at that point it's just like, fuck it, whatever.
I mean, we've seen some moderate success with some of these streaming services doing that with movies. You know, like, you know, I think of Prey comes to mind. Like, that could have gotten a theoretical release and done very, very well. Like, I'm not sure this would have done as well as Prey. I don't think it was as strong of a movie as Prey, but we're waxing semantics at this point. But this could have been in theater, and I think I would have still paid to go see it.
I think it was
really a pretty fun movie. Like, this... Yeah. It was unexpectedly John Wick, and that is the best way to describe it. You know, you see, point out of here, this 100% is Jane Wick, and I love it.
Yeah, and it's one of the better Jane Wick movies that I've seen, because I've seen, I said in my review on the website, like, I've seen a few others of these, like Gunpowder Milkshake and Kate and all those, and most of those lack that spice that really gets it. I think they are trying too hard to both make a character that's interesting, but also leave them underdeveloped like John Wick at the same time. It doesn't quite work. This one actually puts the character development in enough that when she makes the turn to being a John Wick, it's like a reveal of the character, and it's surprising and interesting. I really liked it. I thought she was great.
Yeah, it was a fun movie, and like she would fight for her family, and you know, and she will murder and kill, and she does quite a lot of it, and it's a fun watch. So highly recommend if y'all got like a couple hours to kill and just want to watch a fun little swashbuckling movie of death and fun. This is a good one.
Yeah, if you've got Prime, I recommend it.
Yeah, I mean, highly. Yeah,
I don't think I'd get Prime just to see this.
No,
but
no.
If I had it, I would watch it, and I hope at some point it gets a home video release so other people can see it.
I think so, and it should. And you know, it, very simply, being on Prime, if y'all are Prime members at all for, you know, Amazon, you can get this for free. So I mean, no cost to yourself as it is.
This has been Not So Live from Asteroid G, stealing gold and delivering it one day later via Amazon Prime. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Your buddy Mike the Ghoul, cutting hamstrings and punching people with conch shells. We're gonna see y'all next time.
Man, she murdered that guy with that shell.
Vicious.
So vicious.
She was amazing.
She was great. We will see you all next time.